Well, good morning and Happy New Year. One of the things I like to do when I get the chance to preach, I love to go and look at a certain person in the Bible and kind of see what we can learn from that person. So one of the things that we're doing in Sunday school, my wife and I have a class for young families. If you have any kids that are third grade and under that you'd want to have as part of a Sunday school, that's what we do. We have parents and we have kids all together. And what we've been learning so far is in the book of Genesis. And right now we're in the book of Exodus. And the guy I'm going to talk about, he's been brought up several times because he's one of those guys in the book of Exodus, because his name is Joshua. Joshua was the guy who followed after Moses as being the leader of Israel. Unlike many of the leaders in the history of the Bible, his record was almost spotless with not one glaring sin. He's kind of, in my opinion, he's with guys like Samuel and Daniel, King Josiah and Isaiah, as people who were very, very strong for God and really didn't have any glaring weaknesses. And all of these guys, all five of these guys, it was interesting that they started serving God at a very young age. So talking about Joshua is something for all of us. If you're very young, Joshua started as a young man serving God. If you're in your 20s or even your 30s, Joshua became a leader in Israel during that time, serving Moses as basically his right-hand man, his secretary, his recorder. That's what Joshua was for Moses. And if you're older, well, Joshua became the leader of Israel in his 60s. After Moses died, he became the leader of Israel, and not just a leader, he was the commander of the armies that went in and took the land of Israel. So let's take a look at the story of Joseph. Well, Joseph, he came from the clan of Ephraim. Now, if you know Ephraim was one of the two sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. He was of the clan of Ephraim. It says that his father was a guy named Nun. Joshua, son of Nun. We know nothing about Nun. Absolutely, we know none about Nun. It's just that he was the father of Joshua. One of the interesting things that you'll find in the story of Joshua was how many times God would say to him, or Moses would say to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And I will mention that a number of times in this sermon. 8 times in the Bible, it is said, be strong and courageous. Sometimes it says, be strong and very courageous. It was kind of one of those things about Joshua that we can see is about being strong and courageous. Now, he was one of those young men who grew up in Egypt. And Moses came along and said, let my people go. And all of a sudden, there was all these things going on. There was these plagues that were going on. And they had the Passover. And then they led the people out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and into towards the Promised Land. They didn't quite get to the Promised Land at that point, but they had gotten out. And Joshua was one of those guys that was with them. And it was interesting because right away they decided that what we're going to do is we're going to send some spies in. We're going to look at the land of Canaan. We're going to see if this is a good land or not. And so interestingly enough, when Ephraim was said, okay, who are you guys going to send? Well, we got this guy named Hoshea. Hoshea is going to go and he's going to be our representative. And Moses, he came before Moses and Moses said, Hoshea, huh? You know, I'm going to change your name. Hoshea, no, we're going to go with Joshua. You're going to be called Joshua from now on. And so he was called Joshua after that. Hoshea means salvation. Joshua means God is deliverance. Now, if we combine that with like Jesus, his name means God is salvation. So it's kind of like a hybrid of the two. Hoshea and Joshua is what Jesus is. So Joshua went with these other 11 guys. They went into the land of Canaan. They spied all around. They took a look at everything in there. 40 days, they went through it. And I could see, like, at the end of, like, all 12 of these guys walking along, and Joshua with Caleb in the back going, man, that place was great, wasn't it? God's given us a great place. And these other guys are going, oh, I can't believe God wants us to go into this place. So they get before the people, and Joshua and Caleb are like, man, this place is awesome. They have such great crops. The land is great, filled with milk and honey. We need to go in there. God's given us this land. And the other 10 go, wait. No. You should have seen those guys. They're huge. We're like grasshoppers to them. We can't. If we go in there right now, we're going to be destroyed. There's no way we can do this. And Joshua and Caleb are like, yeah, we can. Let's go do it. And so the people started picking up rocks. They started walking towards Joshua and Caleb, and Moses and Aaron, they fell on their faces. And those other 10 guys, they started getting sick. They started coughing. All 10 of those guys, it said the plague came upon them and they died. And that was left with Joshua and Caleb saying, see, we told you. Now, God told Moses, all right, because your people didn't believe what Joshua and Caleb said, they're going to be wandering in the desert for the same amount of years as they went through the land of Canaan. So 40 days means 40 years. You're going to be in the desert. Only Joshua and Caleb are the only ones that are going to be able to go into the land. Everyone, every adult who is 20 years older, you guys are all going to die here in the desert. And that's what happened. So Moses saw something in this young man. And he said, okay, I got to have this guy as he's my secretary. He's the guy who's with me, my right-hand man. He's the guy that would go into the tent of meeting with Moses and meet with God. He was the guy that would, you know, when Moses said, okay, write this down. And so he's writing these scrolls, and we got the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, with Joshua writing them down as Moses was telling him all the things to write. Well, one of the first things that happened right after this whole thing with the spying in the land is the nation of Amalek decided, we don't like these people around here. So they came to fight against Israel. And who did Moses pick? Moses said, hey, Joshua, I want you to lead the army. I want you to go and gather some guys. Now, who is he supposed to gather? That's my question. These guys were slaves in Egypt. Okay, they might have been strong from all the stuff that they did, making the bricks and stuff like that. They might have been strong, but what weapons did they have? What fighting had they ever done? So Jacob goes and leads these guys into battle. Moses, he goes up on top of a hill with Hur and Aaron. And Moses, he's like, God, you see me up here. I'm going to be watching those guys. He holds his staff up, and as he's holding his staff up, the army of Israel, they can see Moses up there, and they're winning. And then Moses' arms gets tired. He's like, oh, got to put my arms down for a little bit. And then the tide turns in the battle, and Moses puts his staff up again, and they start winning again, and Moses is tired. And so Aaron and Hur come over and goes, okay, we will hold it up over the top of your head. So Moses sits down and they hold the staff up, and Joshua and his army go and defeat all the Amalekites. So it's a pretty cool win for Joshua, this young man who was that Moses had so much confidence in. Well, he served 40 years with Moses and saw many, many miracles. One of the cool things, when Moses went up the Mount of Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, Joshua went up partway. And my wife talked about this in Sunday school class. And as they were up there, my question was, okay, so Moses didn't eat or drink for 40 days. What about Joshua? Did he have food and drink? I don't know. It doesn't say anything about that in the Bible, but it's kind of one of those things that make you go, I wonder what happened there. Anyway, so while they were up the hill, up the mount, and Moses was meeting with God and they're getting the Ten Commandments and Joshua was halfway up. All of a sudden there was this like cheering and everything happening in the camp below, and Moses came down and Joshua said, I don't know, maybe there's a battle going on down there. I don't know what's happening. So they go down and Aaron had made this gold calf, and so they were mad about that. And a lot of things happened at that point. But one of the things they had to do was go right back up the hill, because Moses took the Ten Commandments and he slammed them down and they broke, and he had to go right back up and get a new set of Ten Commandments. And Joshua again went with him. So after the 40 years, after Moses, you know, had served God and had led the people, he came to the end of his life and he had this whole book called Deuteronomy. Basically, Moses' last, okay, here's all the things you guys need to know. And in Deuteronomy, Eleazar, the son of Aaron, who was the high priest, and Moses had this commissioning service for Joshua, because Joshua was going to be the leader. Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8, and verse 23 says, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with all this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And the Lord commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you. So then Moses died and Joshua took over. So the first thing that they do is they have to go across the Jordan River. They're going to go up against this. There's a huge city just over the Jordan called Jericho. And so they have to go across the Jordan River. And this is one of the coolest things in the Bible, I think, is so all the nation of Israel were ready to go. They had these Levites that were carrying the ark. And this was during flood stage. And they walked into the water. The Jordan River stopped and went back up the river to a city called Adam. And it stayed there while all of Israel went across the Jordan River on dry ground. And that's pretty cool. I think that's even better than the whole Red Sea thing, because the water had to go backwards. And that was pretty cool. So they get across. What's the first thing that they do? Yeah, I don't think the men liked this all that much, but in that 40 years in the desert, they hadn't circumcised anyone. So they had circumcision. So that was, I'm sure, a nice party. And then they had the Passover. After the Passover was done, Joshua was led off into the desert a little bit, and he went, and there was this mighty angel with a sword, and he said, okay, are you for us or against us? And the guy said, neither. I'm head of the God's armies. What you need to do, and he went and gave him the whole way to defeat the city of Jericho. So it was at that time that they sent some spies into Jericho and found that the people were scared. People of Jericho were scared. And I tell you what, if you want to hear a good song about it, just listen to Carmen's song about Jericho. That's a pretty cool song. But these guys were scared, and they went and they spied out the city and found that they were scared, and then they were being hunted. People were heard that, hey, there's some spies in here. And so they went to a lady's house named Rahab, and she hid them on the roof, and they said, hey, tell you what, if you let out a scarlet cord and let us go free, then we will save your family. We'll get to her in just a minute. So this was the plan. They went back and said, okay, these people are scared of us. Let's go and do it. So the first day, all of Israel went around the city one time and went back to camp. The next day, around the city one time. So 6 days, they went around the city one time and came back to camp. The last day, the seventh day, they got up really early in the morning, and then they went around the city. 7 times they walked around the city. And after the end of the seventh time, they blew their horns, they shouted, and the walls of Jericho came down, and they ran in there, and they conquered any that resisted them. and Jericho fell before Joshua. What was interesting was, like, all these walls fell down except for one tiny little area on the wall, because Rahab had her house on the wall, and that little spot was saved, and her family was saved because she had helped the spies. So that was kind of cool. They conquered Jericho, and pretty much everyone else in the area kind of, like, were frightened about these Israelites. But the next war that they went to, Joshua said, okay, I want you guys to go and try to, you know, take this little city over here, Ai. And they got defeated. And they found out there was sin in the camp. A guy named Achan had done some wrong things, had stolen things from Jericho. And him and his family died. And then they went back and they defeated Ai. And they continued to go around and defeated various armies around Canaan and conquered most of Canaan. Now there was this one group that came to them and said, hey, you know, we're the Gibeonites. We've traveled from a long way away. You guys seem so great. You know, we want to have a treaty with you because, you know, you guys are amazing. We won't ever bother you because we live so far away. And so Joshua's like, hey, you know, this is good. You know, we have this ally. That's nice. And so they made, you know, a treaty with these Gibeonites. And then they found out the Gibeonites lived right there in Canaan. What was interesting was not long after they were having these fights against these different places, taking different territory, and the Gibeonites, there were some Ammonite kings that were mad at them. So four Ammonite kings came against them, and the Gibeonites sent to Joshua and said, hey, we're being attacked. You're our treaty. Remember that treaty we signed? So Joshua took his army and went there, and he started fighting these Amorites. Okay, so they were winning, they were doing well, but Joshua was looking at the sky going, it's going to be dark and we're not going to have time to beat these guys. Hey, son, why don't you just stand still right there so that we have more time? So the sun stood still for one full day as they were winning the battle, and then the sun started going. So basically, what happened? The earth stood still for one day so that Joshua and his army could defeat the Ammonite kings. So that was a pretty cool miracle that God did right there. So at the end, they almost had taken everything, but the people of Israel were tired of fighting. I'm sure Joshua was tired of fighting. They had spent all these years, and they had left a couple of places untaken, like the Philistines. But, you know, who cares about the Philistines? They're not going to be any problem. Well, maybe for Samson and David and Saul. But there were some other groups that were left as well, but they were just tired of fighting. And so Joshua and Eleazar, they got together and they divided all the land up between all the tribes. And then Joshua called them together and said, okay, I got this speech to do and I want you guys to listen to me. Joshua 24, 14 to 18. Joshua is talking to these people and he says, now fear the Lord and serve him with faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors, worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in the land whom you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord and serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove us out before the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. After that, Joshua went and he lived with his family and served God the rest of his life. He died at the age of 110, and said Eleazar died right about the same time. And then Israel was left to be ruled by the judges. And if you want to read the book of Judges, you can see what happens there. It didn't go quite as good as when during the time of Joshua. But all right, so what can we learn from Joshua? First, keep learning and growing in the Lord. First, keep growing and learning in the Lord. Joshua committed his life to God fairly early. he wouldn't have been one of those 12 spies chosen, you know, right out of Egypt. He wouldn't have been one of those 12 spies if he hadn't been a man of God right away. Even at a young age, he followed after God. And while other people complained to Moses about, you know, all the bad things that were happening, Joshua never did. He learned from Moses and he trusted in God from his youth until his death. One of the things he was even told by God was, you need to keep following me, keep reading God's word, keep following my word. Joshua 1:1-9, the beginning of the book of Joshua, this is what God said to him. After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over to Jordan, you and all this people in this land, and I am giving them to the people of Israel. Every place that your sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to it from the right hand or to the left, that you may have a good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to what was written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I think it's interesting that God said, meditate on my word. Don't leave my word. Just don't go for the right. Don't go to the left. Just go straight. Do what the word says. Constantly follow after what my word says. It was interesting. I love the fact that it says, wherever your soul trods, that's the land I'm going to give to you. And I love it when we have these people who go to the public schools and they walk through the public schools and they pray. And it's from this section of scripture that says, wherever you trod. And it's like a prayer walk. There's a church in New York City that loves to do that. Wherever God is leading them, they will go and have people that will walk through that area and they will pray. And because God is giving them that territory, like God gave the territory to Joshua. And he also says several times, be strong and courageous. I am with you. And we got to remember that. Be strong and courageous because God is with us. Whatever God's giving us to do, there's a reason he's given it to us. He wants it done, but he also wants us to stand with him and be strong and be courageous for him. The second point, number two, be willing to stand for what is right. In Egypt, Joshua was willing to trust Moses and Aaron. He trusted that they would lead them out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, into the Promised Land. And then when he was chosen as one of those 12 spies to go into the land, he saw that God was going to do a great thing. He and Caleb both were like, wow, God's going to do a great thing. Let's go do it. And yet, the people stood against them, stood against Joshua, Caleb, even picked up stones to stone Joshua and Caleb because Joshua and Caleb were so excited about going into the land. They were willing to stand up for what was right, for what they knew God wanted them to do. And they were the only two that were able to go into the Promised Land. In our society, there's a lot of sinful behaviors that are being accepted as right. As Christians, we don't have to participate in things like the gambling, promiscuous behaviors, people swearing, cheating on taxes, cheating in business. Don't go along with those people who say that this world is billions of years old and it evolved just this way by chance. We know that God is our creator. While we're supposed to, as Christians, love the sinner, we don't have to love the sin that they do. We don't have to participate in those behaviors. Stand for what is right, as Joshua and Caleb did, and God will be with you. And number three, choose for you this day whom you will serve. Joshua had seen power in miracles. He had seen Moses strike the rock and the water come out. He had seen manna come from the sky. He had seen God give them food to eat in the desert. He had seen many powerful things that God had done. He knew the power of God. He trusted in God and in his ways. And he saw God do amazing things even through him, going across the Jordan, having the sun stop, having the walls of Jericho fall down. At the end of this life, he said to this people, and I've already read this, but let me read it again. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors, worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I love the fact that he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Every day we need to get up and we need to serve God. We need to choose him every single day. It's a day-by-day thing, living for God. Joshua advised his people. The word of the Lord that he helped to write in Deuteronomy talked about the fact that we need to keep God's word in front of us. Put it on the door frames of our house. Put it on our walls so that we can have God's word in front of us. Be willing to follow him all the days of our lives. And as Joshua said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Are you choosing your house to serve the Lord? Are you willing to follow him? Are you willing to be strong and courageous for the Lord? In this new year, we need to choose to follow him every single day. We need to choose to look at his word and learn from his word every day. We need to choose to spend time doing what is right for him. Let the word of the Lord guide you in your ways as Moses and Joshua gave us that word. And let's seek to what the Bible can teach us this year. Start out this new year in a positive way and know that you can be strong and courageous because God is with us.